This podcast has been brought to you by Panacea Healthcare Services, a trusted solution for your billing and collection needs.
Welcome to BH Billing Advocates. This is a podcast where we talk about everything that supports behavioral healthcare billing efforts. We'll be talking about billing and collections, utilization review, credentialing, clinical documentation, and everything that supports the revenue growth for substance abuse and mental health treatment providers nationwide.
All right, I think some introductions are in order. I'm Gian DaCosta. I'm the Director of Operations here at Panacea Healthcare Services.
And I'm James Gordon, Managing Partner for Panacea Healthcare Services. Okay, guys, welcome to another episode of BH Billing Advocates, where we talk about everything concerning the business side of behavioral healthcare, from billing and collections to utilization review, verification of benefits, everything it takes to turn a claim into actual dollars, which will help a provider continue to save lives. Glad you guys are with us today. And before we touch on our main subject matter, we always love to cover a current event that's taking place in our industry, maybe in the behavioral health industry directly, or in the medical industry as a whole. And we came across this one particular article that made me feel very promising that I'm actually in the right industry. The global medical billing outsourcing market is to reach $19.7 billion by 2026. Wow. Big growth within the medical billing industry. You know, myself, I've been part of the medical billing industry on the behavioral healthcare side since 2007. And I can say that since that particular time, I have seen a tremendous growth within the industry with a plethora of new providers that have been added in the industry in behavioral healthcare and in medical, just beyond. So many opportunities for a patient, whether from a medical healthcare side or behavioral healthcare side, to have so many different outlets to be able to actually get the assistance they need. And what it has, it's created a great opportunity for medical billers, such as Gian and ourselves and Panacea Healthcare Services and other providers of medical billing services nationwide. And, you know, by being part of this industry, we have definitely seen the global medical industry outsourcing market begin to really grow in a positive way. Of course, there's unethical tactics that take place, and what our job as a revenue cycle management firm is to do is to help providers stay ethical, stay tactical on their procedures, and continue to help them turn claims into actual dollars.
And I was actually very excited to see the article, because one conversation that I always end up having with whether it be current clients or potential clients, when people are considering ways that they can save dollars, one thing I always remind them when they're looking at the outsourced industry as far as medical billing and collections is concerned is that there's a lot of costs that people don't know that come with the actual insurance billing and collection side of things, whether it comes from just the amount of staff that you that is required to actually work through it. You're going to need a billing software, a clearinghouse, then you're also going to need that additional staff. There's a lot that comes with it. And then there's a lot of knowledge that you're also going to need to gain. And when I say that it is not the easiest thing, it's not something that's easy to just Google and have out there. You need that those people with that experience and knowledge to help back you up in the industry. So I was actually very excited to see it. And hopefully other providers will take that as an indicator and further education. All right, guys, so go ahead and get your dipping sauce ready. On this episode, we're going to be dropping a fresh nugget on substance abuse versus mental health.
Okay, guys, I want to thank each and every one of you once again for tuning in to another episode of BH Billing Advocates. You know, here at Panacea Healthcare Services, we truly take pride in helping providers along the way on the business side of behavioral healthcare. We recognize that as you take the lead on patient care, you're going to need a little hand-holding, so to speak, on the business side, getting a handle on that, of all of the different complications of medical billing and everything it takes to turn a claim into actual dollars. That's where we take pride in being able to assist you through podcasts like this and other educational sectors. Today's subject matter, I must say, definitely is a hot topic. It's something that's being spoken about throughout different events and different conferences that I find myself into and different discussion circle and roundtables, and that is mental health versus substance abuse. The decision whether or not to take on a client underneath the substance abuse realm or underneath mental health. And that would mean on our end, on the medical billing side, is do we add a diagnosis that's on the mental health end or do we add that on the substance abuse end? Right about now, that wave of that decision end is being contemplated by providers for several different reasons. And we wanted to definitely touch on those reasons on why a provider is thinking, do I take this client in under a substance abuse realm or a mental health one?
All right, guys. So we're going to talk about this today. And one thing I just want you to bear in mind, again, is that we're not clinicians. So we're going to just be talking based on our past experience with working with different providers on this issue. And so the first thing I'm going to say is the hot topic. Everyone's talking about it because they know, and I can attest to it, that depending on the level of care that you're in, treating somebody with mental health as their primary tends to reimburse higher than treating someone with substance abuse. And it's not a large difference, but of course it's going to add up as the days go by for each patient, for each day, and each level of care. And so that's one thing. And then also they look at it as well on the clinician side of things, where it truly helps to treat that patient, because as we said before on this podcast, is that a lot of these patients, as I talk to different clinicians, they have an underlying mental health disorder when they come in for substance abuse that hasn't been treated. Some of them are using it to self-medicate, and so it's causing the substance abuse issue because they're trying to treat their mental health on their own, or there's some past trauma in their life that needs to be dealt with that is a primary mental health issue, and so they need to go through that substance abuse side of things. They need to go through the traditional forms of treatment to deal with that. But then to really stay clean, to really deal with their issues, they need to also go through the mental health portion of things to sort out whatever past trauma, get themselves on the correct medication, whatever it may be. The mental health side of things needs to be addressed to allow a true positive outcome for that patient. And then we also know in this industry that outcomes are becoming a very big part of it. Are patients continuously coming back? So getting to that patient's root cause for the reason for the substance abuse is groundbreaking in a way, in a sense, because you're trying to really reduce the relapse rate. And sometimes dealing with that mental health issue will make that difference. And then also what some providers don't bear in mind is that there are cases in which your patient will be able to go through your substance abuse program, and dependent on what the underlying mental health issue is, you get to elongate that care because they went through substance abuse as primary because that is the immediate concern. Then the mental health is identified, and then they can go ahead and go through the program on the mental health side, sometimes even go back to a higher level of care. We've had care managers at the insurance company look at a case and say, well, this patient has definitely a case to go back to IOP for mental health because they have a serious issue that they needs to be addressed. And that's a patient who's relapsed several times and it just never was worked through on that side. I'm sure there were conversations had during the substance abuse therapy, but that mental health side wasn't the primary being dealt with as far as what was being seen. And so that elongates your care of that patient, thus giving you further revenue.
Let me ask you, Gian, how important is documentation, clinical documentation, when it comes down to determining whether an insurance carrier really takes on the primary diagnosis of mental health? We know that a substance abuse provider looking to take on a client and utilize them under a mental health realm might use the primary diagnosis of mental health, but how does the clinical documentation need to be in order for that to be a green light?
Okay, and that is actually something that people ask. I'll say the question that ends up being asked when we get into that discussion is, what is the ratio? What ratio of should I have in my facility if I'm able to do mental health as well for mental health versus substance abuse? Or if I just got my license and I was shifting from substance abuse to mental health as my primary? I say that the clinical documentation needs to substantiate, if you're going from substance abuse to the mental health, 1,000%. You definitely can't have no indications. It needs to be strong. You need to ensure that whoever you have as your clinician, they're ensuring to document the symptoms, whatever it is that is allowing them to come to diagnosis that there is past trauma or there is schizophrenia, whatever mental health issue is present. The symptoms need to be documented. The steps leading up to the identification of the information needs to be documented. And then, of course, the treatment plan and things of that nature. But that is something to definitely think about. And that's where you get into the ethical side of things, where you're kind of weighing okay, well, I know it pays higher. So some people, that's why they kind of ask about the ratio, because it pays higher. So can I just shift everybody and get my mental health as primary? Well, you could be in a situation where things get paid initially because you're like, okay, yeah, and you're getting your high payments, you're getting your high payments. And then the insurance company identifies this switch. Okay, I get they got their license for this, but really, they went from having strictly substance abuse. Some of these are even the same patients, and now I'm just getting straight mental health. You know, you're putting yourself in a situation where you're going to get medical records requests. And I promise you that if you consistently failed those medical records requests, sometimes they may not even let you know that it's coming. But then you end up yourself in either a prepayment review, post-payment review, or an audit.
Yes, I've seen a similar issue occur when there was a massive front to add on eating disorder treatment to a lot of substance abuse programs. You know, there weren't really a true eating disorder program established within those substance abuse facilities. So when insurance carriers noticed that all of a sudden so much eating disorder services are taking place within that facility, as Gian was saying, medical record request was happening at an abundance, and also different audits, which would definitely slow up your entire revenue growth and from a whole. So you want to make sure that even though you have the ability to take on mental health at your substance abuse facility as a dual diagnosis facility, you want to make sure that you're moving in the most ethical procedure to be able to treat the patient correctly, but to also have insurance carriers identify you as a clean hand provider.
And with the substance, with the mental health, I definitely think it's going to normalize within the industry. I think you're going to definitely, the shift has already been happening. I think it'll normalize within a year or so, where most people are trying to offer it. They're going to be finding out, you know, the process for it is just finding out your state requirements, applying for those state requirements, ensuring that you have the correct physician staffed and things like that. But it's definitely shifting where it's going to be normal for every facility to be able to treat it, because again, it betters your outcomes and the payments are higher. There are definitely things to consider on that front.
At the end of the day, I think that, you know, it's a true benefit as long as, once again, it's done in an ethical mindset. It allows the opportunity for a provider to treat a patient from a dual diagnosis perspective, able to maintain their substance abuse challenges, but also the mental health challenges, which is just a factor of a prominent cause of why they probably had a substance abuse related issue to begin with. So I think that this is a positive thing, being able to utilize more of the mental health aspects of treating a patient, as long as we're going to do it in the most clean hands as providers, and as long as we're going to make sure that the patient actually leaves the facility thoroughly educated on both realms.
And then when we're talking on the claims processing side of things, one thing that you definitely have to bear in mind is that the insurance company, a lot of them unfortunately view substance abuse as a choice, and mental health is not something that you chose. It's something that either happened to you or that you were born with. And so when it comes to determining medical necessity for those things, as long as the documentation is on point, for the most part, it tends to go clean. It tends to pay. It's going to be easier to fight, especially if that pay, even if the patient is coming in relapsing, to some degree, if that mental health is primary, it's not their fault. So I'm definitely glad to see that change in the industry, and I really hope to see more successful treatment and outcomes for patients going forward.
Okay, guys. Thank you very much for listening to another episode of BH Billing Advocates. Really appreciate your time. If you have any questions on the information that was covered today, please do not be shy. There is no dumb questions at all. You can reach us at info@bhbillingadvocates.com. Plus, please note, if you have any other additional questions on topics that actually went beyond what we spoke about today, those particular questions could end up evolving to becoming a subject matter on one of our future episodes. So please, let us know what you're thinking as it pertains to the business side of behavioral healthcare. We're looking forward to helping you.
And remember, no matter what the problem, we are always ready to snap a capon.
Dun, 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 dun. BH Billing Packers.